What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
So when you hear parents say, you know, religion is something that's going to be an obstacle for my child's success, I think it's quite the opposite. And I think there's quite a bit of data to show that.
A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to learn that there are risks worth taking.
Churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
It is an odd little passage. It appears first in Malachi chapter 1, that last of the Old Testament prophets is talking about and proclaiming God's love for his people. They say, how have you loved us? He says, I loved your father Jacob, but Esau I hated. And Paul picks up on this and he quotes it in his epistle to the Romans. And he's talking about God's, well, God's choice of grace or his election of grace. It seems an odd thing to take away from a story in the Old Testament about these two brothers, twins, Jacob and Esau. And it's true that Jacob does receive the birthright and the blessing from his father. And Esau, who had those things coming to him by his birthright, does not. And Jacob is the one who will then, in his body, carry forth the promise of the Messiah. We're going to be talking about all of that as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 2nd. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us for about a half hour teaching that Sunday school lesson. Then we're going to talk evangelical Gnosticism and a denial of the bodily resurrection. Abigail Favalli will join us. She's author of a recent column for First Things titled Evangelical Gnosticism. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jacob and Esau, beginning in Genesis chapter 25, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
If someone approaches the Sunday school teacher with this little passage that is quoted by Paul, first appears there in Malachi, and it's referenced to these two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, and says, how can that be? God is love. How can he hate anyone? What's the response?
The fact of the matter is, because Scripture interprets Scripture, God even loves those that he said he hates. What do I mean by that? Remember Judas? It was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he betrayed our Lord. And Jesus referred to him as friend. The fact of the matter is, did God hate what Judas was doing? Yes, he did, a betrayal of our Lord. But that didn't mean he didn't love him. So what we need to look for is, what did Esau do that was hateful to God? And he actually did two things. Number one, he thought that he would get the birthright because he was the oldest son. But for some soup, he gave away his birthright to Jacob because he was so hungry. He said, well, I'm going to die anyway. What good is my birthright? and therefore was not trusting the promises in those days that the birthright would go to the oldest son. But he did something else, and this really hurt his parents, Isaac and Rebecca. And it is found in Genesis 26, verse 34. It's not part of the Sunday school lesson. It's the verse right before chapter 27. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And that made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Remember what Abraham had done. He sent his servant back to his relatives to find a wife for Isaac because he did not want Isaac to end up marrying a Hittite or a Canaanite or somebody who was contrary to the word of God. So here comes Esau, and obviously he's going against his parents' wishes and marrying someone who does not believe in the true God. And the Bible even said this made both Isaac and Rebecca bitter. So when it says that God hated Esau, he's not talking about that love that he has that's found in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But there are things in the world that God hates, disobedience against the commandments, etc. And I don't see any problem here in understanding that it's not a hatred toward the person Esau as it is a hatred toward his deeds. Those deeds God hated. And since Esau was the one who willingly did them, it's no problem for me that God says that he hated Esau in contrast to Isaac. Martin Luther talks about that this is known as the hiddenness of God. In light of the fact that even when Esau was born, as well as Jacob, it was told by God that Esau would be serving Jacob. But we're going to find out as we go through this that that promise just wasn't trusted by a number of people. And that's why we have such a mess here in this family.
So they are two brothers in the womb. They're twins. And even before they are born, we're told that they're already in conflict with one another. I think it is. I think it's even said that there are two nations within her womb, and one will overcome the other. It's really going to only, the promise is really only going to go through one of these children, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, Rebecca is wondering, what is happening within me with these two children? And it is God who tells her that two nations are in your womb. This is verse 23 of Genesis 25. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Now, that's really not the way things normally were done, because the oldest to be born would be one who instead would get the blessings and the younger would serve the older. But God reversed this for some reason. And when the birth took place, I guess what happened? That Jacob was holding Esau's heel as though he was trying to pull him back into the womb so Jacob could be first. So from the very beginning, there is this symbolic item going on where there's going to be conflict between Esau and Jacob. But they get born, the two twins, and then it comes time for Esau. He's really hungry, and he sells his birthright to Jacob. In fact, the Bible says, and this is part of the reason why what he did was hated by God, it says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So we already see sin going on in Esau, and we're soon to see sin also in Isaac and Rebecca.
Should we at this point distinguish between the birthright here, which is something I guess he could barter away, and then later the blessing that Jacob manages to get, although he does now have the birthright, the blessing of the father that he manages to get by deception?
Yes, if you take a look at the blessings, when Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau, he provides him a blessing that not only has, shall we say, societal implications, but also spiritual implications. When he finds out that he blessed the wrong son, when he blesses Esau, there are no spiritual implications in that blessing. In fact, the blessing to Jacob, when he says that, and it's verses 28 and following in Genesis 27, may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Okay, there's your natural blessing. Then, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Now, you can't read that without thinking of Jesus. This is really about the blessing that through Jacob, the line will run to Jesus. And it is Jesus where the peoples will bow down to him. And he will be Lord over all the brothers. And therefore, cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. That's also found in regard to Jesus, that those who trust the promises of Jesus are blessed. Just take a look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. And what happens to the goats who don't believe the promises of Jesus? They are cursed. You cannot read the Old Testament without seeing Jesus everywhere. And therefore, for some reason that God didn't make clear, he decided that the promise would come through Jacob rather than Esau. In fact, remember when Adam and Eve had two children and they were born, Cain and Abel, you would have assumed that the promise to the Messiah would come through one of them. But no, Abel was murdered and Cain was the murderer. So it was the next son of Adam through which came the promised Messiah. God can do whatever he wants. Our task is not to figure out why he does what he wants, but to reveal it as it is stated in the scripture and permit the Holy Spirit to bring the comfort that really is found for us in this wonderful episode of Isaac and his two sons.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we'll be telling more of the story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 25 through 27. They are estranged from one another. They are also reunited with one another. We'll talk about that after this.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 25. This is what the material, the curriculum, Growing in Christ has to say in part about this lesson. God's blessing through the patriarch, Isaac, as Luther says, is no mere wish, but it states facts and is sure to be fulfilled. It is the bestowal of a good thing. It cannot be revoked. Though Esau pleads with tears, his father only has an inferior blessing for him. God's finest blessing, the blessing of Abraham, goes to Jacob. Through Jacob, God would bless the world with the Savior from sin. As you can see, the Sunday school curriculum points us again and again back to Christ through these Old Testament stories. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you some free samples. 1-800-325-3040, Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. So, Tom, let's focus in on the blessing that is gotten for Jacob here. He has to engage in deception. And you said earlier it's because neither he nor his mother really believe the promise.
Yes. This is always where sin comes in. It's not just disobedience against a command. At the bottom layer, it's unbelief in a promise. And that promise was heard in Genesis 25, verse 23. Rebecca is wondering, what's happening to me when she's pregnant with the two young boys? Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. That was Esau. But the older shall serve the younger, who would be Jacob. So God has a promise here that the one who is going to be serving the other obviously means that the younger would receive the blessing. So where was the sin of Rebecca? She felt she had to trick Isaac by making Jacob good food coming from Esau and putting hairy stuff on him so he felt like Esau. And in that way, she was not believing the promise God had made. She was manipulating the situation to do that. And therefore, we have Esau sinning by giving away his birthright and marrying Hittite women. And Isaac sins by ignoring God's promise that Esau will serve Isaac. He's about ready to give the blessing to Esau, even though he knew the promise from God that Esau would be servant to Jacob. And so he also sinned. The whole family has sin, which means they don't believe the promise from God, and they're not willing to just sit back and let God fulfill what he has already promised. And that's really the essence of this particular Sunday school lesson for the children, that even though this family disobeyed God and did not believe his promise, God kept his promise and fulfilled it in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so that the blessing still came to these people, even though they had sinned and had unbelief in regard to the promise from God.
Isaac, in the end, seems to realize what's happened here. Is that part of the reason he refuses to either revoke the promise for Jacob or to say, okay, Esau, I'll give you an equal promise here? Does Isaac realize what he's passed on something far more than just his own kind of patriarchal blessing?
Yes, in that particular culture, once you gave the blessing, it could not be taken back. The fact is that Esau says that you should bless me instead of him. And Isaac says, no, once the blessing is given, I cannot revoke it. That's really a wonderful thing to hear, that once God gives us a blessing, which we receive in baptism, God will never revoke it. And I think what Rebecca does in the very last verse, she says to Isaac, you know, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women, and that's who Esau had married. So she doesn't want Esau to kill Jacob, because that's how he thinks he can be comforted. And she asked Jacob to go back to her brother Laban, like had originally occurred, and find a wife there. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the next lessons, about Jacob's trip to find a wife and everything that happens there.
Two things emerge here I wanted you to talk about. One, and you mentioned this before, in this case, we have like individual cases of Abraham not entirely believing God, or his wife not entirely believing God and trying to find another way to keep the promise. And here we have every member of the family, mom, dad, and the two sons, who all have their own idea about how the promise should be kept, or are willing to set aside God's promise and do their own thing. And yet somehow through all of this, God still works it out. He doesn't come down and divinely command the deception to end. He simply finds a way to keep the promise in spite of it. Talk about that.
Yes, this is an excellent point you're making, because many times Christians wonder, is heaven really going to be my home? Because I see my sin and I see how terrible I have been toward God, and maybe he is not going to keep his promise. But these events show that once God makes a promise, he never goes back on his word. And that's why it's so important for us to attend worship services, to receive the absolution, because there are promises there. The promises given to our children when they are baptized to receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the promise received in the blessed sacrament of the altar, where the very body and blood given and shed for us, we receive, and therefore can be assured that God still considers us as believers and Christians, even though we sin each and every day, even though we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, we wear the robe of righteousness, and heaven is our home.
Returning to where we began, there are those who would take that passage we discussed in the first part of our conversation, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, and they would make it about predestination. They would say, and this is in particular the Calvinists would say, well, there's an example of God's arbitrary decision to bestow salvation on one and to withhold salvation from another. How do we respond to that?
Scripture interprets Scripture, and it is very clear from the epistles where it says that God desires all men to be saved. So, if he already has decided who is going to hell, which is called predestination to hell, then he can't desire all men to be saved. He would have two wills, and that would be a contradiction. So it's very clear. And by the way, the Sunday school lesson does a pretty good job in that. And it indicates, and here's how I would put it. If you go to heaven, God gets all the credit. If you go to hell, you get all the blame. And that's the answer of why some are saved and others are not.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website under the Listen on Demand page. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to deal with a peculiar situation that Abigail Favalli found in a classroom while teaching evangelical students. You would think among evangelical students that something like the bodily resurrection would be something believed without question. Well, they believe that Jesus rose from the dead bodily, but they had a hard time understanding why it is that their bodies would also be raised in the resurrection. After all, why? Isn't the body the source of sin, they reason? We'll talk about some of those presuppositions and what the answer to this evangelical Gnosticism regarding the bodily resurrection is with Abigail Favalli of George Fox University right after this.
The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I can do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382.
If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.